bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So, as we know, marriage equality is a huge issue, very important here for the LGBTI community, and a proposed plebiscite, which we believe will be knocked on the head this week, is going to have a huge impact on our community. So, ACON, New South Wales Sexual Health and HIV Organisation, released a report earlier this week with a lot of public health evidence that about the benefits of marriage equality, not just the negative impacts of a plebiscite, but why marriage equality will be ace for all of us. So we've got James Gray, the Associate Director of Policy, Strategy and Research from ACON on the line. Welcome to Joy 94.9, James.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about this study and this evidence that came out of ACON this week.
So we've been working on this for a little while. Sort of a little bit earlier in this year, we could see the way the debate was going. A plebiscite was looking quite likely, but in all the discussions that were happening around marriage equality, there wasn't too many sort of facts and figures or much discussion of the health impacts of what marriage equality would bring to our community. So we teamed up with the Centre for Social Research in Health, which is part of the University of New South Wales, to do a review of all the existing evidence that's out there at the moment about both what are the negative impacts of denial of marriage equality, but also what are the really good things that could come out of it if it is passed.
And what are some of those good things?
Well, on an individual level, we know that sort of systemic discrimination has a lot of really negative health impacts. So in this case, the denial of marriage equality certainly has been shown to have to increase mental health issues, and it all can also discrimination can also lead to lower healthcare engagement. So that's sort of the bad side and the negative side. So when you flip that around and you look at systems where relationships are fully recognised, you see a lot of those negative impacts start to disappear. So relationship formation is really, really good for people's health, no matter how they do that. And we're certainly not saying that marriage is the only way that people can get those benefits. Our community has a really long history of making our relationships work in a variety of different ways. But we do know that that formal sort of social recognition is also really, really powerful.
Do you think, James, I mean, in a lot of ways, if I can play devil's advocate, you know,
sure.
we're living in a bit of a bubble. We have, you know, we know why we support marriage equality. We know why it's a good thing. A couple of weeks ago, we had Pauline Hanson on the show, and she said that she completely rejected the research and the comment from mental health organisations that a plebiscite would be a bad thing. How do you counter, you know, when someone just says, look, I don't accept the evidence. It's just, you know, like, we don't accept it. In trying to put the case in that environment, what would you do?
I think there's two ways you need to address that. And just because a particular person doesn't accept the evidence doesn't mean you don't stop talking about it. So you really need to continue to put that information out there and have those discussions, preferably in a really respectful way. But the other really, really powerful tool we have is personal stories, getting out and meeting people and telling people about why this matters to us as a community and how it actually impacts on our lives, whether that's our friends, our families, our colleagues. That is probably the most powerful way we can change people's minds towards supporting marriage equality.
So, James, ACON is, you know, definitely a national leader when it comes to HIV health and sexual health for LGBTI people. The recent Talk Touch Test campaign for breast cancer for lesbians was a fantastic initiative. Is it necessarily appropriate that an organisation like ACON, which is focused on sexual health, delves into this discussion about marriage equality, which you've done a few things over the past few weeks in regards to the discussion about marriage equality? Does it take away from the work that ACON does around sexual health?
Not at all. So ACON as an organisation made a move to being focused on LGBTI health more generally about 15 years ago. So while out, we continue to have a primary focus on HIV and sexual health, and we certainly get the majority of our funding in that area. We do believe that taking a broader view of the health of our communities is a really good thing. It both helps us with our HIV work as well as being a really good thing to do in of its own right. And when it comes to marriage equality, the systemic discrimination absolutely has an impact on health within our community. And we do see that marriage equality does have a health aspect to it. So ACON obviously is very supportive of marriage equality. We've got a position that we believe that there should be a free vote in Parliament. And we're doing work to support those that are taking the leadership roles in this marriage equality debate. So we do recognise that there are other organisations with greater expertise in this particular area, and it's entirely appropriate that they are at the forefront of this debate. But we absolutely think that it's appropriate that we also support this process.
James, it's Tassie. I'd like to just take you back a little bit, if I can, and ask you to just explore what all this means in the context of a plebiscite, because really that was the objective of the report. And could you just explore that for us a little bit more? What are the negative impacts of a plebiscite should it occur?
So there's been a number of different processes that are similar to a plebiscite around the world. We've got a lot of evidence from the United States, and more recently there was a constitutional referendum in Ireland. And what we saw in pretty much all of those debates was that our relationships and our community came under really intense scrutiny, and the value of our relationships were questioned. And I think in the Australian context, that's something we haven't seen probably so much in the last decade or so. Certainly through the services that we provide at ACON, we're starting to see people come through who are really quite upset by this debate, and particularly for some of the older members of our community who went through all the debates around decriminalisation. And there was this sense that we'd finally got past all of that, but now we've come back around again, and almost our right to exist is being questioned again. So that can't help but have a really negative impact on people's health and how they look and see themselves. So despite the calls that there have been for a really respectful debate, and no doubt some people would be very respectful throughout this debate, I think the experience we've seen from overseas is that that wouldn't last for too long, and that there would be some really nasty stuff happening.
James, a lot of the focus has been on what this might mean, or what a plebiscite might mean for young people.
Yep.
What you've highlighted this morning is that that this might actually also impact older members of our communities as well. Could you tell us a bit more about that insight?
Absolutely. So we've been doing a little bit of work recently around the spate of gay bashings and murders that occurred in Sydney in the 1970s, late 70s, 80s into 90s. And I think as an organisation, that sort of really reminded us of just how bad things were for a lot of members of our community during those periods of time. And what they went through at that time was horrible. And I think for a lot of younger people, it's kind of hard to imagine what that was like, that there were you could be sort of hanging around in Bondi or in Manly or in other places like that, and there were people who would be going around trying to bash you. It's just something we don't really see today, at least I think in the major...
Well, not as much, really.
Yeah, yep. Yep. Unfortunately, yes. Can't say we've gotten rid of it all completely.
Yes.
But nevertheless, there's a lot of trauma, I think, from that period of time, and this type of public debate really brings that back up, brings up all those memories. And we perhaps haven't addressed what happened, you know, two, three decades ago in that period appropriately within the community. So until that is addressed as well, I think these two issues will be connected.
Look, we've run out of time, James. Sorry about that. Look, it's interesting. Thanks to ACON, you know, for doing this. As part of their health strategy, we think it's really important. I'm sure we're going to speak to you again soon. I hope you have a good Saturday, and thanks for your time.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.